All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show filmmakers Bernard McMahon and Allison McGordy, and they're here to talk about their fantastic new film called Becoming Led Zeppelin. Allison, ladies first, and you know, I'm in my 50s, and I definitely got the lead out as a kid, as did most of the rock and roll world. And we sort of feel like, you know, we know the story, but when did you guys figure out, you know what, there's so much other footage, there's so much stuff that people don't know, we can make the definitive movie here. When did you guys realize you had this?
Well, hello, Rick. It's lovely to be on. It was way back before the pandemic, actually, we started, Bernard and I started writing the story, researching it, and looking to see what archive existed of the group. And what emerged was a very interesting story of four young boys who had nothing much in common apart from their love of music, and found themselves in the music business and then found each other. And we realized that this was a story that had never been told before, the origin story. So that's the story that we pursued, that we wrote and then storyboarded and then presented to Jimmy Page first. Yeah.
And I knew it was a great story because I'd read it. I'd read a little paper book of their very early years and their childhoods when I was 12 years old. It's been long out of print. And so I'd been inspired by that story before I'd ever even heard their music. And so, yeah, that's the origin of it. It goes all the way back to that.
It's amazing. And Bernard, being a South London guy, I just wondered if you were like Crystal Palace, Millwall, Charlton. Who is your team?
Well, you come from South London, you don't go anywhere near Millwall.
Millbrawl.
That's like an apocalyptic zone. I remember being taken to a football match there when I was nine. It was positively terrifying with bottles and bricks flying everywhere. Yeah, no, I think I was like a Crystal Palace fan, but to be frank, it was film, and film was my love. That was what I was passionate about. I made little 8mm films as a kid, and so I did enjoy soccer, but it takes up too much of your time, you know.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go see Palace at Selhurst Park than go Millbrawl at the Den, right?
Oh my God! Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm talking to someone in America that's even been to Millwall. It's like, yeah. I mean, you picture that when you're 9 years old and those fans, you know. And it was riot bloken out. But the match was
secondary. Yeah. The new Den isn't quite as bad. All right, Allison, back to you for a minute. And as we know, Jimmy is still with us, Robert, and you know, you think about, I remember seeing the movie It Might Get Loud with The Edge and Jack White, and I just had a big smile on my face that whole movie, and watching the love of Jimmy talking about his influences as well. How much did Jimmy Page inject himself into this project, or how much of it did you like shoot and then say, how about this, or what was it?
Incredible to work with, Rick, because he gave us complete artistic freedom. When we had our first meeting with him, which was a sort of 7-hour interview test type meeting where we talked through our ideas for the film, he said at the end of that meeting, he said, "This is fantastic, I'm in." He said, and then he said, "Yeah, I've got all my diaries that you can use, and photographs that he gave us that had never been seen before." And he just allowed us to tell the story that we wanted to.
Yeah, the thing that everything about Led Zeppelin, when you work with them and you go into the story, is just different from anybody else in music. And the interesting thing is, this group that's very private, doesn't communicate with the media, never done a film, never plans to do a film. When we approached them, we'd done all this work, like about seven, eight months' work, like, you know, and we'd made these American epic films, yeah, that were about, with Jack White, that were about the 20s and 30s, the first blues country recordings, the origins of Zeppelin, if you will. When we met them, and they, one by one, they all agreed to do it, they were completely collaborative, and they went, "Okay, you're the filmmakers, you go and make the movie." You know, once they'd realized that we'd done, we'd work really hard and we'd track down all this stuff and we'd storyboarded the whole film in advance. They were like, okay, you go off and make it. And they literally they turned up to the interviews with literally bags of archives, all of them. Masses of pictures, sound recordings, none of which we'd ever seen or heard before. So they were kind of terrific. So it was that kind of thing, like, you may get silence from Led Zeppelin for years and years, but if they actually decide to do something, what's really interesting, they go all in on it. And that says something about them as people and says something about the group.
Well, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic that Robert and Jimmy and John Paul Jones are all still with us. And, of course, we lost John Bonham so long ago. And Allison, I think it's interesting how iconic John is, and those people want to buy those old Ludwig drums. They think they're going to sound like him. He really, people say that you have a unique style, but he really did have a unique style, didn't he?
He was incredible, probably best drummer in the world, I think. And I think you have to see him on IMAX. We Deborah Bonham, his sister, gave us access to the home videos that his dad had shot of him as a kid. So we, the audience, gets to see him playing on his very first drum kit when he was just a little boy. And it's just amazing that he can be included equally with the other members.
And he's talking about it in the film. He tells you when you watch it in the cinema, he's telling you about the musical influences that made him the drummer he is. And they're not the things that you think he'd be listening to. And so I noticed when you watch the film you see the first Led Zeppelin performance. Every single audience member that I've ever talked to watches it, particularly people that have very little knowledge of Led Zeppelin. They watch it and they go, oh, my God, he's amazing. Because you could, when you see this in the cinema, I think they're re-releasing it in IMAX, like today. Mm. It's in every, as many IMAX as they can get it in today. You can hear in a big cinema, you can hear what it is he's playing, you know? And I just think it draws the audience in, you know, and the way him and John Paul Jones play together. And I can tell you, editing a film, you know, with Dan Gitlin, our editor, you never get tired of that music. It's so ingeniously put together, the way that they're playing. It is so kind of imaginative, and they're not playing just on the four, boom, boom. Very, very clever parts where they leave gaps for each other to jump in. But it's endlessly entertaining. And so I think if you say go into IMAX today and you see it, you'll just be completely bowled over by the sound of him. Plus, we've left no stone unturned in this film to bring the audience the most pure version of the music with no tampering with it at all. So it's the musical equivalent of, like, we've cut the pineapple off the tree in Oahu, sliced it open, and just put it on your plate. There's no
amazing
changing this music to make it more appealing to the kids. You're hearing exactly what you were meant to hear in 1968 or 69. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And for people who love John Bonham, Bernard managed to track down some never-before-heard interviews of him. So the film was told only in the band members' voices, and we were able to, through Bernard's detective work, tell it equally with John Bonham. And so the four of them are there in the moment. So it's absolutely fantastic to be able to include him equally. And the family were thrilled.
Well, let me just get this in. I only have 1 minute left, and I want to ask you, Bernard, I remember watching that original film, and maybe the most intimidating person in music history, Peter Grant, who is also from South London, and he was just, with his corpulence and his attitude, pushed people around. Out here at the Oakland Coliseum, he shoved one of Bill Graham's guys off the stage. Were they as scared as Peter Grant, as everybody else, the band?
Well, the interesting thing is, I have a personal connection with Peter Grant. After I read that little paperback book, my mum told me that he used to come to our house and buy antiques from her.
Wow.
And I would sit on his knee when I was seven. And I remember him very distinctly. I mean, oh, that's that guy. And he was very sweet to me. And he would always try to butter up my mum. And when I told my mum, I said, I'd made this film. Peter Grant was, I remember, I said, Mum, I always remember Peter Grant trying to buy our fireplace. We had this lovely kind of Art Nouveau fireplace. And he was always trying to buy it for his daughter's living room. My mum wouldn't sell it to him. I said, I remember that, right? He was always trying to buy the thing. He said, yes. You said, yes, Bernard, I'm the only person that ever said no to Peter Grant.
That's great stuff.
And it's really, yeah. And so I think, I mean, and I think, so, yeah, it's just been a thrill making the film. And one of the things that's kind of fun is that they're putting it out, I think, on Friday. They're putting it out on video on demand. You can actually now watch it in your home. And the cool thing about that is all the Zeppelin recordings are stereo, and the pre-Zeppelin recordings are mono. So touch wood, it should sound absolutely fantastic in your home as well. And of course, the film is stuffed with Easter eggs, so you have an opportunity to kind of scroll back and look at things in more detail, you know?
Well, I can't wait. I'm a huge Zeppelin fan, and we have been speaking with Bernard McMahon and Allison McGurdy, becoming Led Zeppelin in IMAX as well. You two, congratulations, and thank you for a lovely interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back with Nancy Finley.